Good morning. This morning's message comes from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Please hear these words. One day Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full, they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Almighty Father, maker of heaven and earth, I come before you humbled by the responsibility you've placed on my heart to share your word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be turned by the Holy Spirit into the message you intend each of us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a confession. I'm not a fisherman. I remember my father teaching me how to fish. I know the mechanics of it, but I'm not a fisherman. I was probably 6 or 7 years old, standing by a pond someplace I don't even remember today. He showed me how to take a piece of bread, a fresh bread, and squeeze it into a little ball. And then he showed me how to carefully put it on a hook. He had it all set up, the rod and reel with the weights, the bob, the whole thing. He showed me how to cast the hook into the water. And then I caught my first fish. I was so excited about it. It was quite the feeling to catch a big fish. In reality, it was probably just a 4 or 5 inch perch. But when you're 6 years old, what an amazing catch! It was a small miracle. As I said, I'm not a fisherman. I only like catching. I need someone else to bait the hook, take the fish off the hook, clean the fish, and eat the fish. I subscribe to the idea put forth by Bruce the Shark in Finding Nemo. Fish are friends, not food. I believe that fish are for watching, not for eating. I don't like the taste of fish, the feel of fish, they're slimy and wiggly, the danger of fish with their spines and their teeth. But I understand the need for fish. It is a valuable food source, and in many parts of the world, it's the primary source of protein. You may have heard the saying, "Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime." I will submit to you today that teaching someone to fish for people, using the word of God as the net to catch them, will feed a person's soul for a lifetime. Today we're talking about miracle, faith, call, and mission all wrapped up in fishing, not for sustenance, but for souls. When Simon and his friends were fishing, they weren't using a pole like with a line like I was using to learn how to fish. They were using a dragnet type of device. The analogy of fishing for people doesn't work with the mindset we have of fishing with a rod and reel and a baited hook. You could make the analogy that with using the word as the bait, and that you're hooking a person to follow Jesus. But when we fish like that, it's usually to catch, cook, and eat the fish. And besides, that's not how fishermen of that time fished. Behold, a casting net. A casting net is a device that is made up of a round net with small weights distributed around the perimeter of the net. There's a hand line connected to the center of the net, and through some prescribed techniques, the net is thrown into the water from the boat, from the shore, or by wading into the water. As the net expands, weights pull it down on top of the fish, which are then trapped in the net as the fisherman begins pulling it from the water. The weights gather underneath the fish to make it more difficult for them to escape. I highly recommend taking a peek at a YouTube video on cast net fishing, to get an appreciation for the difficulty of fishing this way. First, there's the weight itself that has to be thrown. You can see a lot of weight on the edges of that net. Then there's the weight of the fish themselves as they're brought back to the surface. It's hard, hard work. When Pastor Dan gave me the scripture for the message, he suggested it's almost like a catch and release kind of program. And that's where I'd like to explore the story of calling the disciples. It's a story of miracle, faith, call, and mission, all in one neat package. You might notice that in the text, the body of water that Jesus had come to is called Lake Gennesaret, here and in other places called the Sea of Galilee. It's also called Lake Tiberias, Lake Kinneret. These names are based on place names from the nearby shores. The plains of Gennesaret meet the Sea of Galilee on its southwestern side. And farther down the coast from there is a town called Tiberias, hence Lake Tiberias. When Jesus approaches Simon and the others on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, he was coming from Nazareth, where the people had tried to drive him over the cliff, and he walked away from them. Pastor Dan taught us about that a couple of weeks ago. Jesus then made his way to Capernaum, where he drove out a demon and healed Simon's mother-in-law from her fever. As he was standing on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, he was surrounded by people who wanted to hear him speak the word of God. I don't know how big this crowd was, but I can imagine that if you're trying to talk to more than a couple of handfuls of people, you'll want to have a little distance so that everyone can hear. He saw two boats and got into the one that was owned by Simon and asked to be taken a short way from the shore. After they got just off the shore, Jesus sat down in the boat and began preaching, teaching the people in order to increase their faith. There must have been something mesmerizing about this man that people were starting to hear about, with his miracles and healing powers and the way he spoke. They would follow him anywhere to hear him speak. Think about the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew, the Sermon on the Plain from Luke, the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, both in Matthew. Those are a lot of people. That is a lot of faith building. You can see why Jesus might want to move a little bit away from the crowd to speak. When he finished speaking, he told Simon to row out to deeper water and drop his nets for a catch, or to cast his nets into the water. According to the InterVarsity Press commentary, these ancient boats would have been about 20 to 30 feet long. There was a boat from the first century Galilean shore that was found in 1986 and preserved in Israel. So the remains indicate a boat of about 27 feet long and 27 and a half feet in width. And it was a shallow draft boat, about 4.5 feet, which allows it to operate close to shore. And it could be rowed by four people or sailed by wind. So imagine from the front of the piano to the middle of the band is about how long one of these boats was. And it was about as wide as 2 more feet beyond my span here. So that's a pretty big area. Or think of it in another way. From the steps to about the eighth row is about 30 feet. And hanging over about a foot on either side of the aisle is about the size of one of the boats. And thank you, Pastor Dan, for this beautiful picture. Take note of what Simon says. We've already worked hard all night to catch nothing, but if you say so. Can you hear that spoken in a whiny, tired voice? Or the voice of someone who knows how to run his business being told by someone else in a totally different business what to do? Now, the text doesn't give us a clue as to how Simon said those words, but the words themselves show that Simon had his doubts. We already worked hard all night, and we didn't catch anything. What makes you think we're going to catch something now? The kind of fishing that these men were doing was strenuous and time-consuming. You can imagine them going back out to do it again was the last thing they wanted to do. But they complied with the command, and they dropped their nets farther out in the water. When the nets were pulled in, there were so many fish that they had to bring a second boat, which belonged to Simon and his brother's partners, James and John. And still more fish, so many that both boats were full to almost sinking. So imagine all those fish up here and down the aisle. How many fish that is. That is truly a miracle. Simon Peter is responsive to God's messenger, and thus an example of faith. Do you think that the people on the shore were watching this? Certainly Simon, James, and John were astounded by the catch they brought to shore. After working all night and not catching a thing, then following Jesus' command to try again, what else could they think about this catch other than it was a miracle? After the catch, Simon seems to be admitting his hubris. Now, Simon was a faithful man. He believed in God and in what the rabbis taught. He knew that he was a sinner. His faith was being tested when confronted by this miracle. He knew he was in the presence of someone holy, especially if he had been listening to Jesus' sermon from his boat. He understood that sin produces distance between himself and God, and asked that Jesus leave because Simon wasn't worthy to be in his presence. So what do we remember about Jesus' authority on earth? He had the authority to forgive sins. And from Luke chapter 5, verse 32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Matthew 28, Jesus came near and spoke to them. I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And here we have the call. Jesus tells Simon to not be afraid. Afraid of what? Being too sinful to serve God? That from now on, he would be a fisher of men. Simon Peter represents all disciples. His humility and awareness of his sin do not disqualify him from service. They are the prerequisite for service. Simon's response recalls the reaction of earlier great servants of God, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, who also bowed low in humility when they caught a glimpse of God's presence. Jesus does not call those who think they can help God do God's work. God does not need or want servants who think they are doing God a favor. Jesus calls those who know they need to be humble before his power and presence. From now on, Simon will be casting his nets in a different sea, the sea of humanity's need for God. And he will be using the word of God as that cast net. It's usually at this point in any sermon about Jesus calling the disciples that a pastor will give an abbreviated version of their call story to ministry. I'm not a pastor, but I do have a call story. When I was getting heavily involved in the Emmaus community, I was asked on more than one occasion to serve as a lay director for a walk. It's a lot of work. The walks are always led by non-clergy people. Our kids were still in elementary and middle schools, and when the community leader started asking. I was flattered But I told them no, not until my kids graduated from high school. Thought it would give me a little bit of time. The interesting thing about a call is that if you can successfully ignore it, it's not a call. But if it keeps coming back, no matter how many times you say no, it's probably the Holy Spirit knocking on your heart. I had said no 3 or 4 times, but the last time I was asked, the youngest had already graduated from high school, and I no longer had any excuse to say no. It was an amazing experience that led me to being the lay director of the Northwest San Antonio Emmaus community in the 20-teens. During that time, I thought I might have been being called to ministry because of my deep involvement with Emmaus and developing leadership skills. But eventually, that feeling wasn't so strong. Today, my calling is to lay servant ministries and being lay leader of the church. I believe that is where God wants me to be working right now. So after the call comes the mission, and this is my mission right now. The disciples are being gathered to Jesus, people who are sinners and unworthy, but forgiven. Their mission is to share the good news that Jesus has the power to forgive our sins. The mission is to catch persons alive. The mission involves rescue from danger, since those caught are caught alive. The response is instantaneous and total. When the boats come in, the former fishermen leave behind everything and follow Jesus. The call had gone to Peter in verse 10, but all those who experienced the catch follow Jesus. The fishing expedition had brought its first catch. Sinners are transformed into servants of God. That is how great God's holiness and grace can be. As Pastor G told us last week, we need to get rid of the dirt of our judgmental minds. We're called to use the Word of God as the net to catch all people. We need to teach and preach with more than just words. Our mission is to show them that God loves them, and so do we. But we aren't responsible for their salvation. Only Jesus can do that. So remember, you catch them, God cleans them. Amen.